Tonight we're going to be looking at Psalm 27, so if you have a Bible and you'd like to pull that up, or it'll also be on the screen. There's been a lot of folks through the centuries of time who have accomplished so much in their life that they've been known either while they were living or after they died as the great. Folks like Alexander the Great. Lived 356 to 323 B.C. as a Macedonian king who created one of the largest empires in history. Cyrus the Great, around 600 to 530 B.C., founder of the Persian Empire. He's mentioned in Scripture. Constantine the Great, 272 to 337 A.D., Roman emperor who legalized Christianity. Ramesses the Great, powerful Egyptian pharaoh who lived 1303 to 1213 B.C. There was Alfred the Great, 849 to 899, king of Wessex who defended England against the Vikings. There was Peter the Great, 1672 to 1725. He was a czar who modernized Russia. And there's others, many others, who were called the Great. But can I tell you tonight that our God is truly the greatest. Our God is the greatest ever. You know, I realize these are just human beings who were known as the great. And God is in a whole different category because he is deity. He is God. He is the only true God. Title of the message tonight, God the Greatest. God the Greatest. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 27. Psalm 27. I'm going to read that tonight, Psalm 27, if you would follow along. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war would rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over into the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. The last verse, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now this wonderful Psalm of David in God's book, God's Word, is so full of truths, there's no way we can cover it completely, but I thought we'd hit a few highlights from this chapter and hopefully be an encouragement and a challenge to our hearts. Title of the message, God the Greatest. First of all, point number one, four descriptions of our God. Four descriptions of our God. Verse 1, it says, the Lord is, here's the first one, my light. My light. In this dark world, aren't you thankful that Jesus is the light of the world? Aren't you thankful that the Lord guides us and gives us direction in life? And then he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. It also mentions the similar thought down in verse 9. It says, the latter part of the verse, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. Aren't you thankful that our God is our salvation? That he's the one that provided the way to deliver us, not only through the trials of life, but to deliver us all the way from this world to the next world, heaven, through his son Jesus Christ. I'm thankful that he is not only my light, but he is my salvation. The third description of our God is also found in verse 1. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Not only is our God my light, my salvation, he is the strength of my life. You know, a lot of times in life we go through things that drain us of strength. It just seems like we can't hardly go on. But you know, God is always right there with us, and God is always the strength of our life. If we rely upon him, he'll continue to give us strength. A lot of people want to rely upon their own strength, but I'll be the first to admit that my strength is not enough. I have to rely upon the strength of God. And the last description under point number one, four descriptions of our God, in verse 9, it says, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. My help. You know, I've been praying that quite a bit. It seemed like there was some Wednesday night, probably several months back now, that I preached on God being our help. And I've been praying, Lord, we need your help. Lord, we need your prayer. We need your help. I've been praying that for our church. I need your help in my life. I need your help. You know, really, we need God's help in every area of our life. And I'm thankful that our God is that help. Four descriptions of our God. Point number one, my light, my salvation, the strength of my life, and my help. Point number two tonight, four things that God does for us. Four things that God does for us. If you look in verse 5, that's what he's described as, these my light, my salvation, the strength of my life, my help. But here's some things specifically that David wrote that he does for us. First of all, in verse 5, it says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. Have you ever gone through something in life and you want to hide? You just about as soon crawl under the bed. I'm thankful that God is the one that hides us. In other words, God is the one who protects us. It says in his pavilion, it says in his tabernacle. The point is, when you need someone to look after you, God is there. One of the things that he does, especially for those of us that know God, we are the children of God through his son Jesus here in this year 2026. I'm thankful that he will hide us. He will hide us or protect us from the things that want to harm us. Also in that verse, if you read on, it says in verse 5, he shall set me up on a rock. So the second thing that he does for us as God followers, he sets us up on a rock. Now, what's that speaking of? When you think of a rock, I think of stability. I think of stability. And it says that he will set us up upon a rock. I kind of think of like being in shifting sand or in mud, and it's not stable at all. And God just picks us up and says, here, boom, I'm going to put you up on the rock. It speaks of stability. And I believe it speaks of security. So not only does God give us protection, he gives us stability and security. In verse 6, the third thing that he does for us, it says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Do you know that when we serve God faithfully, he exalts us and lifts us up? He gives us much more than we ever deserve. You agree with that? You know, a lot of the enemies of David, they felt that they were going to oppress him and knock him down and even kill him and all that. And David says, hey, my God's a big enough God. He's going to lift me up even above my enemies. He's the one that's going to exalt me. He is the one that's going to bless me. So God does for us. He protects us. He gives us stability and security. And he exalts us or lifts us up. And lastly, the fourth thing God does for us, found in verse 10, it says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. You know, it's rare, but it happens that your mom and dad can even forsake you. Even if it gets to that point, and I believe he's making the point that when it gets this desperate, guess what? God is still there for you to love you and to protect you. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Not only for how our God is described, but the thing specifically that's mentioned that he does for us. He protects us. He gives us stability and security. He exalts us or lifts us up. And even when mom and dad forsake us, we have him to love on us. We have him to protect us. And I'm thankful for that. Tonight, God the greatest. Point number one, four descriptions of our God. My light, my salvation, the strength of my life, and my help. Four things God does for us. Again, he protects us. He gives us stability and security. He exalts us or lifts us up. And he loves us and protects us. Point number three tonight. As I read this psalm, it really struck me. There's one desire of David in this psalm. One desire of David. And he labels that as such in verse 4. Point number three, one desire of David. Notice what it says in verse 4. He says, one thing. Now, that to me sounds like this is the main thing. This is what he is going after. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. I desire it from God. One thing I desire from God. I'm going to seek after that one thing. What is it? It says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Now, it's not likely that he intended that I'm going to go to the house of the Lord or the temple. I'm going to live my life out there in the presence where God's people worship him. Or even if we want to bring it up to modern days, I don't think he's saying, you know what? My desire, the one thing I want is to come and live in the church. Now, I remember as a kid, I told my mom one time, boy, wouldn't it be good if we could just live at church? I enjoyed church that much as a young person. But I don't think that's what he's talking about. I believe when he says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, it's talking about fellowship and intimacy with God. He wants to have close fellowship with God. And you know the thing about it? God wants to have close fellowship with us. I mean, God wants to be close to us. And if there's a problem with that closeness and with that fellowship, guess where the problem lies? It lies with me and it lies with you, not with God. But David says, one thing I desire, one thing I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all my life, that I may have a close, intimate walk and relationship with God. Now, isn't that a great desire to have? Man, can you imagine what would happen in our world if all of God's people had the same desire of David? You know, we have desires, all kinds of desires. One thing I desire, to have the biggest house on the block. One thing I desire, the biggest truck in the town, that's loudest, that can go over these snowbanks and do all kinds. You know, the one thing I desire is a position that's high above everyone else in my family has ever achieved. There's one thing a lot of things that people desire, even Christians. But David said, the one thing I desire, the one thing that I seek after, the one thing that I want all the days of my life is to have close fellowship and intimacy with God. And he goes on, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Do you know the closer we get to God, the bigger God is? The closer we get to God, the closer up front he looks. I mean, you can look at some people from a distance and say, oh, that's a good looking person, or that person looks pretty attractive, or whatever. You get up close and you see the blemishes, right? But the opposite is true with God. The closer we get to God, the more beautiful he appears. The greater he appears, the more awesome God he appears to be. So it says to behold the beauty of the Lord. And it says, and to inquire in his temple. You know, with that close, intimate fellowship, we can ask God to guide us and direct us and to bless us and to do these things. And when we're that close to God in that intimacy and that closeness and that fellowship with God, we won't be asking for goofy stuff. We'll be asking for stuff that honors and glorifies him. That's why it says and to inquire in his temple. We're to ask God these things. Tonight, God the greatest. Four descriptions of our God. Four things God does for us. Thirdly, one desire of David. He wants to have close, intimate fellowship with God. One more point, point number four. One specific challenge in this psalm. One specific challenge in this psalm of David. It's found in verse 14. If you read through all this, of course, it gives us a description of God. It tells what he does for us. David says, this is the one thing I desire of the Lord. But there's only one specific challenge or command found in this scripture. It's found in verse 14, the very last verse. And I know this is a lesson that David has learned. He says, here's the challenge, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And then in case we missed it, wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, as I thought about this, too many times we want to get ahead of God. We want to get ahead of God and do things on our own. And really, in our society, it's almost applauded, like when someone takes the initiative and wants to go out. Now, there's nothing wrong with initiative in its right priority, but when it comes to serving God, we got to be careful to not run ahead of God. We need to wait upon the Lord in all the things in life that we go through, in all the things of life. Don't you think God has it under control? Now, we can worry, we can fret, we can cry, we can do all those things. We can lose sleep, we can get an ulcer over it. But let me tell you, what we need to do is simply wait upon God. That waiting upon God, it insinuates or implies a trust in God. I'm going to trust you, God, so therefore I'm not going to run ahead of you. I'm not going to get it in my hands and try to take care of it with my little pea brain. I'm going to let God do it all. I'm just going to sit back and let God. And when he moves me to do something, by golly, I'm going to do it. But not until he tells me what I need to do and takes care of this problem or takes care of this situation. You see, we need to wait on God. In trying times, we need to wait upon God. That's where David found himself in much of his life. You can tell even as he writes the psalm that he is being tried. He is going through trials. Verse 2 of this chapter, he says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. In other words, people were trying to kill David. But he said, you know what? We need to wait upon the Lord. Verses 11 to 13. In this chapter, Psalm 27, he says, teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path because of, what? Mine enemies. He had enemies against him, trying to kill him. But he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to wait upon the Lord. My desire is to have close fellowship with God, but I'm going to wait upon God. I want his timing. I want to do exactly what he wants me to do. Verse 12, he goes on, deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. And then here's another description of his enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So David was going through a lot. It says in verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then he says, wait on the Lord. So we need to wait on the Lord in trying times. We need to wait upon the Lord in decision times. You know, we make a lot of decisions in life, but I have to freely admit that I think most of us make a lot of our decisions in life based upon what we think and not what God thinks. Even Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust in the Lord, that is, with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, that is God, and he shall direct thy paths. That verse is talking about waiting upon God and waiting upon God's will for your life, trusting him. Too many times we kind of get big feeling about it and we think we know more than God and we mess things up. But we need to wait upon God in the trying times, in the decision times. When God's timetable doesn't match our timetable, we still need to wait on God. We want to get ahead of God and say, well, boy, look at this great job. I'm going to take this job. This is what I want. This is what I've always been looking for. But is it God's will? Wait upon the Lord and make sure it's God's will. When we want to take things into our own hands, we still need to wait upon God. We need to wait upon God, even in the good times. Maybe things are going so well that you're tempted to just run on ahead of God because everything's going so well and just keep on. Maybe you just need to pause a little bit, thank God, praise God, and say, God, where do I go from here? Everything's going great. In short, we need to wait upon God all the time. Again, waiting upon God means trusting God and waiting on him to move us and to guide us and to direct us and to give us wisdom. You know, there's a lot of illustrations in the Bible of people that waited upon God. David waited on the throne. He was anointed by Samuel. I looked this up, somewhere around 15 years before he actually became king of Israel. And during that, he lived a lot of time in a cave, hiding and trying to keep away from Saul. But what did he do? He waited upon God. Said, God, your time, I'm not going to take it into my own hands. I'm not even going to kill Saul to get the throne. I'm going to wait upon you, God. Joseph in the Bible, you know, he waited in prison for 13 years. You put it all together from his captivity all the way through the time he was in prison or in jail until he was elevated, 13 years. You see, he waited upon God. Moses waited 40 years in the desert before God called him from a burning bush to go deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Noah waited 120 years to build an ark. 120 years. Now, he was building the ark for that 120 years. I guess it would be better to say he waited on the flood for 120 years as he built the ark. But there's a lot of people that waited, and can I say for every one of them, it turned out good. When you wait upon God, it'll turn out good. Do not get in your brain that you are the king of your own universe and you are the time setter because you're not. God is. Just simply wait, be of good courage, keep a good attitude, that is. And it says, and he shall strengthen thine heart. And it says again, wait, I say, on the Lord. Tonight we've looked at Psalm 27, title of the message, God the Greatest. Let me tell you, our God is absolutely the greatest. First of all, we looked at four descriptions of our God. He is my light. He gives me wisdom, guidance, and direction, my salvation. I'm thankful that he's delivered me from this old world, from my sins. I'm thankful that he's provided me a way to get to heaven. He is the strength of my life. Whenever you feel down and weary, you say, God, I need your strength. God, I need you. And he is the strength of our life, and he is the one that will help us. He is my help. Four things God does for us. He hides me in the time of trouble, gives me protection. He sets me upon a rock, speaks of stability and security. He lifts me up or exalts me and gives me much more than I deserve. He takes me up when mom and dad forsake me. That speaks of his love and protection. We serve an amazing God. We serve God the greatest, the one and only God, the God of this Bible. I hope you just have a little shouting fit right where you might be tonight as you're listening to this and just praise God for the God that he is. He didn't have to be that way. But then we looked at one desire of David. His desire, the desire of his heart, he freely admits it in this psalm, is to have close, intimate fellowship with the Lord. And the last point tonight, one specific challenge in this psalm, wait upon the Lord. You know, our God is so great, and he's so great to us. He's the greatest and only God. I have two questions for you, and then I'm done. Question number one. Do you desire a close, intimate fellowship with God. Now, I would think in my brain that every Christian would want and have that close, intimate fellowship with God. But as I look around, I really don't see that in every Christian's life. Do you have a deep desire? Is that your goal? To have a close, intimate walk with God. God is there, but we need to approach Him and say, God, I want that close, intimate fellowship. And of course, we have that through reading the Word and praying for Him and coming to church and doing what He wants us to do. We can have that close. Do you desire that? If you don't desire that, wherever you're at right now, I'd just pause and say, God, I know Jesus. If you do, if you trusted Him, but Lord, I don't have the desire I should. Put that desire in my heart. Do I desire a close, intimate fellowship with Him? Do you desire a close, intimate fellowship with Him? And question number two, regardless of what you're going through in life, are you waiting upon the Lord? Regardless, whether it's great times or good times or fair times or terrible times, are you waiting on God? Are you trusting Him? That idea of waiting upon God is waiting on His time schedule, waiting on Him to work, waiting for His guidance, waiting for His direction. Are you waiting on the Lord? I imagine that if you're listening and you're paying close attention, that if you're not waiting upon God, God right now, probably through His Holy Spirit as a child of His, probably is saying, hey, just slow down. Just wait upon God. Let Him do the guiding. Let Him do the directing. And if that's the case, I'd encourage you to bow your head and to close your eyes wherever you might be. Tonight, if you're a child of God, would you do that with me right now? Just bow your head and close your eyes wherever you might be. Do you have that desire to have a close fellowship with the Lord, a close relationship, intimate relationship with the Lord? Now, if you trusted Jesus, it still doesn't mean we're close to Him. But do you desire that? If so, would you ask God to help you cultivate a close, intimate relationship with Him? Secondly, if God is speaking to your heart in this area, are you waiting? Are you waiting on the Lord and His timing and His power and His strength and His wisdom and His guidance? If not, and God is telling you that right now, would you simply in the silence of the moment ask God to forgive you for not waiting upon Him? And would you ask Him, Lord, help me to wait upon You. In every area of my life, help me to wait upon You. And lastly, if you're listening in tonight and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me firmly tell you, our God is absolutely the greatest. Don't you want to have a walk with Him, a relationship with Him? If you're listening in tonight and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can do that tonight. Now, it's a commitment. It's a serious commitment that you need to mean from your heart. But you can call out to God wherever you are. And if you mean it, you can say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Wash my slate clean. I've done lots of things against You. Forgive me of those things. Then you can say to God, God, I believe that Jesus was Your Son who died upon the cross to pay for my sins. I confess Jesus as my Savior. And if you just prayed that prayer, meant that from your heart, you just got saved. If you meant that from your heart, we'd appreciate if you'd let us know that. If you have any other questions about that, we'd be glad to help in any way. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Psalm 27. We thank You that David shares his heart with us. He shares how great of a God You are, and we thank You and praise You and lift up Your name for being that great God. Lord, I pray that You'll help every single one of us, Lord, as Christians, to to truly desire, may it be our heart's desire, our one and only desire in life, to have a close walk with you, Lord, once we know Jesus as Savior. And Lord, I pray that as we do so and as we go through life, Lord, we're so tempted to get ahead of you. Help us to also wait upon you and your timing and your power and your strength and your wisdom and your guidance. Lord, help us to trust you that much.